Okay.
So we're rolling. We are live. The questions are still acceptable. You just have to get your name and social security number and address when you give a if you ask a question.
And stand in front of the camera.
Questions are absolutely welcome.
Go up there.
We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. No, we record like this every Sunday. We have been for the last 2 years. Actually, we have a YouTube site. So you just go to youtube.com/ATX Bible Fellowship. ATX for Austin, Texas. Okay. Bible Fellowship. One of the guys there had set that up. Started 2 years ago. Kevin Kress and Brian Miller. And then Kevin left about a year and a half ago. They moved down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He went down to pastor a Grace Church down there. So the first 6 months, he and I would split Sunday mornings. I'd do 1 hour, he'd do 1 hour. And so it was real good. Pardon me. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I forgot to dim this thing. And this was, verse 17 was actually the theme. Scott had put a theme together for the conference, and that was actually the theme, was verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And you see that thing, good works, in there. And a lot of times in the grace movement, you know, it's kind of like, oh, can't go there. You know, somebody might think we're talking about the wrong stuff. So I just want to look at a few things about that. Let's just back up a chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm just going to jump into the middle of a text here, but verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Whoa, here we are talking about works again. Come to Titus, next book to your right, Titus. Right after 2 Timothy, another prison epistle, of course. And we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Whoa. Good works again. Well, let's make sure we get the right... you know, where do works fit in? I bet you if we keep reading this passage right here, we may get both ends of works, how they have nothing to do for our salvation, but they have everything to do from the day of our salvation on. And this text right here is going to say that exactly. We'll just keep reading in verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Wow, that wasn't a good place. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, verse 5 again, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But let's keep reading. So works had no part of us getting saved, but let's keep reading. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. And watch this. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Whoa, so maintain good works. Okay, so just to, actually let's go back to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Just to make sure we're using works correctly and not using them incorrectly. Is that a double negative, right? Not using them incorrectly. But actually, I don't want to make light of this either. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Come down to verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. All right, and I know I'm preaching to the choir in here, and we say, works have no part of our salvation, of us obtaining salvation. How do we obtain salvation? We look at the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, how that Christ, when he died on that cross, he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. He was buried, took our sins to hell, and on the third day, God the Father raised him for our justification. While we're in Romans, let's actually go to chapter 10 of Romans. Romans chapter 10. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so works have no part of us obtaining salvation today. If we looking at our timeline here, Genesis through Malachi, the Old Testament, period of about 4,000 years, good part of that being the law period. All right, then we have Matthew. This is the birth of Christ, is what we're designating there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talking about this 33-year period. Then the book of Acts picks up, goes for approximately 40 years, maybe a little less. But out here somewhere is the year 2015. We are in the dispensation of the grace of God, as described in Ephesians chapter 3. And the key is, how does one obtain salvation in the year 2015? Okay, because it's different than other parts of the Bible, even though we started out, not even though, remembering that we started out with 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is profitable for many things, one of which being doctrine, to know how God Almighty dealt with man in times past, but now, and things to come. The 7-year period of Great Tribulation, 1,000-year reign of Christ, you know, the kingdom. There will be a, you know, and this is the rest of the Bible then, Hebrews through Revelation, describing the doctrine for that time period. Today, Romans through Philemon. Just happened to all be written by a guy named Paul. Used to be Saul of Tarsus. 17 times Paul tells us he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay? But in the year 2015, works have no part of obtaining salvation. Prior to Paul getting saved in Acts chapter 9, I'll just put a 9 here. Prior to that, and after this age is over with the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4, then the 7-year period of Great Tribulation begins, followed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to set up the 1,000-year reign on earth. And as Kirk Chris says, and actually there's the little season at the end. Satan must be loosed for a little season after the 1,000 years. We never put it on our timeline, and Kim and I went to see him preach last week. It's like, okay. But anyway, prior to Acts 9, works were always part of obtaining salvation. After this dispensation is over, works is a big-time part of obtaining salvation. as Christ said in the book of Matthew, gospel of the kingdom. You know, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Kind of infers, not kind of, definitely infers works, does it not? You have to endure to the end. In the book of Hebrews, doctrine for out here, Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 10, that man absolutely can lose his salvation. And when he loses it, there's no second chance. He's done. So he's got to continue to do the right works. And if he ever does the wrong work, he loses his salvation in that time period. Not true for today. We're sealed. Works have no part of... While we're in Romans, go to chapter 11. Works have no part of obtaining salvation. Okay? And once we have salvation, keep your hand in Romans 11, actually, and flip to the right to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. See, that we are sealed today. From the moment of salvation on, we're sealed in the dispensation of the grace of God. As your Bible is going to show you right here, chapter 1, verse 13. Just look at the blessings we have. In whom ye also trusted. So let's back up to verse 12. Who first trusted in Christ, that being the subject, trusting in Christ. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And if you brought in Ephesians, we're not going to turn there, but Ephesians 4:30 tells us we're sealed unto the day of redemption. That day right there is our day of redemption. We're sealed unto that day. Okay? So we have that in this dispensation. That's the only time period in your Bible where a person is eternally secure in their salvation. Works had no... Ephesians 2, 8. While we're here, let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so works, hopefully we've seen it in a few passages here. Works have no part in obtaining salvation. But as we started out, works have everything to do from the moment of salvation on. But one other thing, now back to Romans 11. Romans 11, this whole, you know, it's quite a debate out there in the religious world. Do we have eternal salvation or not? Can you lose your salvation or not? Some people say yes, some people say no. Of course, what matters is what saith the Scripture. Romans to Philemon, you'll see eternal security. Once saved, always saved. No, you can't lose it, but only in these books. You will not see eternal security anywhere outside of Romans to Philemon. Back here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they can lose their salvation. Hebrews, definitely. Chapter 6, chapter 10, they can lose their salvation. 1 John, you can lose your salvation. Peter, you know, 1 and 2 Peter, you can lose your salvation. You have to hope to the end, endure to the end. Okay? They can lose their salvation. You know, and obviously in Revelations too, it even tells us about taking the mark of the beast, and they're done. They take the mark of the beast, and boy, you could sure see it yesterday, couldn't you, with the passage of the SEC, and now they're going to control the internet. How much business is done over the internet now? You know, we're at 30% in climbing, I think it is. And every year it's doubling at Christmas. And boy. So if you want to conduct business, you just, now that they're definitely controlling the internet, you can sure see that mark right now. I'm not saying that's the mark of the beast, but, you know, you can sure see how they can control trade. And that's the big thing there, not to mention content. You know, I'm sure the Rush Limbaughs of the world are going, oh, great. You know, they tried to get me on radio. Now they're going to get me in cable. And now that's much more prominent way of getting messages out to people. And anyway, let's stay to the scripture here. Romans 11, verse 6. thinking about this thing of once saved, always saved, can you lose your salvation? Verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Okay, if you're saved by grace, you're kept by grace. If you're saved by works, you're kept by works. Guess what? Back here, they're saved by works. They're kept by works. In the future, they're saved by works. They're kept by works. In here, the dispensation of the grace of God, Romans to Philemon, 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, almost half. We don't even need an accountant to tell us that, do we? 13 divided by 27, just about 50% of the New Testament, yet it's the most ignored books, most ignored section of the entire Bible, and that's the part that's to us in the year 2015, but nobody wants to go there because maybe it's different than the red letters, and what should we follow but the red letters, right? But that's the only place in the Bible where it's saved by grace and, praise the Lord, kept by grace, sealed until the day of redemption, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. The rapture of the church, the calling out of the body of Christ. All right? That's when this dispensation ends. Could be next week, could be 100 years from now, could be somewhere in between. We don't know. The point is, works. I want to make sure we definitely have it. You know, have nothing to do with us obtaining works in the year, or salvation in the year 2015. But why does the Lord leave us here when we get saved? You know, there's a moment of salvation. Okay, no different than Christy coming last week. You know, there was a set time that her plane was scheduled to land, and you knew exactly what that time was, and you know when she landed. You know, she was now in Texas. Second before she landed, she was still in the air. But there's a split second where, boom, now she's on the ground. And everybody knew when that time was. Just trying to make an example here of, you know, anyway, let's try a different one. Just like high school graduation, you know, there's a, and I'm going to use a time when he says, flip that tassel over to the other side, and he says, you know, I now pronounce you graduated from Smithville High School. Alright, everybody move your tassel over. You're now graduated. So, you know, it might have been something you were studying for a long time, and but you had to meet the requirements, and in our case, the requirements are just realizing I'm a lost sinner doomed for hell. I've got my study so much out of whack today, but I was just going to do things in different order. I don't even know why I said that. Excuse me. Retract. But there's a split second where we realize, wow, I am a lost sinner doomed for hell. I've never seen myself as lost before. I've always relied on studying the Bible. I've always learned on what I've been learning. But when did I see myself as lost? And based on that, call upon the name of the Lord to save me. You know, the verses there in chapter 10 of Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a split second where just like mamahood, let's use Christy again, 26 years ago. You know, there was a split second, and Christy's their oldest child, there was a split second where, I mean, you may have been pretty big for 9 months, you were getting bigger and bigger, right? But there's a split second where she's still not yet a mama, and he's not yet a papa, but boom, there's a split second where I'm now a mama, I'm now a papa, and that ain't going to change. That's sealed from that moment forward. Split second.
Yeah, I have a question for you. You know that email that I sent you a couple weeks ago? And I said about people just don't apply sin to themselves.
Ah.
Like they will intellectually say, Jesus died for my sins, but they never really apply the sin to themselves.
You know, and that's a great... It's an excellent.
I sent you that email.
That's absolutely lost believers right there.
Right.
That's a definition.
And I think that's it. They just don't apply it to
themselves.
They,
and I can definitely say, because you know, I is one. I was one. That was exactly my testimony, Ben.
Yeah.
I even got married 3 or 4 months prior to the night I got saved, and Jerry took us through counseling, and you know, we had to give our testimonies, and I guess I fooled him, but you know, worse so, fooled myself. What are you trusting in for your salvation? If you die, if you got hit by a car tonight, if you died tonight, where would you go? More importantly, why would you go there? And what are you trusting for your salvation? Romans 5:1. Flip back there.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying.
And, I'm going to finish that.
Yeah, you can trust Christ for your salvation, but you have to apply the sin to yourself.
Absolutely, Ben. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Starting in verse, so chapter 4, verse 24, speaking about righteousness, but for us also to whom it, righteousness, shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have that peace. That's how we can put our heads on the pillow at night and know if I don't wake up tomorrow, I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm saved. I have a testimony of salvation. I was justified by faith. Now, backing up to what Ben was just saying, we can understand that Christ died very intellectually.
Right.
Like this guy teaching, you know, preaching at you right now. Until July 5th, 1983... I had never seen myself as lost. I had always believed, I knew that stuff. I was even studying the word rightly divided for a year at that time. Yeah, not quite a year, I guess it would have been. Wow, amazing what all can happen. But anyway, I'd never seen myself as lost. You know, when he died for our sins, oh yeah, that included my sins. So I had intellectually knew these things, the historical facts, death, burial, and resurrection. Had an interesting discussion last week. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, our works from the moment we're saved on are this passage, but this also has to do with intellectual salvation versus actual salvation. That'll make sense in a few minutes, hopefully.
Makes sense to me. I was there.
This is a passage about the ministry of reconciliation and really understanding what happened on the cross. We'll start in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, as we read the rest of this passage and as we continue the discussion, this is our good work from the moment we're saved to the day we leave this earth, whether it's by death, whether it's by the calling out of the body of Christ. The ministry of reconciliation is what it's all about. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and that's it right there. That's our good work, to be an ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For, verse 21, is it. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Nobody has a sin problem today. Nobody goes to hell today because of the sin they have committed. For all, you know, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody that is saved, you know, nobody goes to hell for the sin that they have committed. It says, you just read that, right? Verse 19, in the middle there, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Your sins, whether you're saved or lost, so I'll point to the camera, your sins, whether you're saved or lost, are not imputed unto you. That's what you just read right there. I'm not telling you that. Verse 19 told you that. Always make sure it's the Bible that's telling you that. The King James Bible. Remind me, Ben, since you and I started to have this discussion going, I want to make sure we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about being saved and intellectual salvation versus a split second.
Be convicted of sin.
But this is it right here. Nobody has a sin problem. They have a son problem. They have not yet accepted the son. Okay, you do not go to hell for the sins you committed. You would go to hell for not accepting the gift of eternal life, for not accepting the son, for not accepting what he did for us. Verse 21, became sin for you. He who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's it. The ministry of reconciliation. All sin, you know, when he died on that cross roughly 2,000 years ago, how many of your sins at that time were in the future? All of them, right? Obviously. So all of your sins were placed upon him. All of our sins, all of the sins of the world, even that John whatever his name is with ISIS that has a Pittsburgh Pirates ball cap on, the guy that's head of ISIS that does all the beheading, even his sins were placed on Christ 2,000 years ago. He would not go to hell because of beheading that guy or however many guys he's beheaded. I'm trying to keep my politics out of this. He would only go to hell for not accepting the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ took that sin to hell for him. Okay? As soon as he sees himself as not being able to see, now going from intellectual self, well, let's back that up a little bit. But anyway, his sin was paid for. That sin was paid for. As gruesome as it is to us, that sin was paid for. Child, what do you think of the worst sins you can think of? They were all paid for. Okay? It's by not accepting the gift of eternal life. If we were to go to Romans 5, which we're not going there right now, but there's like three times in four verses that it's called a free gift. The free gift of salvation. All we have to do is accept that gift of salvation. But you can't accept it until you know that you don't have it yet. If you think you've got it already, and if you think you can get there a different way, if you think you've been getting good enough, if you think you're intellectually know enough in the Bible, so therefore he's going to take me. No, when did you receive the gift? And to receive it, you need to understand that you don't yet. Wait a minute, I don't have that gift yet. Where? Wow, if I don't have it and I die tonight, you know, it's not, you can go 70% one way or 52% one way. It's 100% this way or that way, if you will. Either you're spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ or you're spending eternity in hell. Those are the two options. And it's 100% either way. So when did you realize I have not yet gotten my ticket? You know, Christy went to, now I'll try the airport again. Christy is going to the airport to fly from Denver here back to Houston to visit her parents. She needs that ticket. All right, now, you know, they have requirements to get on that plane. It's called a ticket. And she couldn't get there. Well, you know, I know the plane leaves at this time, and I know it's going to land at that time. And, no, she had to purchase a ticket. And if the day before, oh, my goodness, I'm leaving tomorrow, I don't even have a ticket yet, well, she's going to have to get online and get a ticket. But she's got to realize, first of all, that she doesn't yet have a ticket. She still thinks she has one, arrives at the airport, and starts going through security and gets to the gate, the gatekeeper. Where's your ticket? Well, I know that the plane leaves at 3:23 this afternoon. It's, you know, United, flight 424. Leaves at 3:23. Doesn't matter what you know about it. Where's your ticket? She's going to ask you for your ticket. All right, so at some point, Christy had to realize, she knew she needed a ticket. She knew what flight she wanted. But she has to, again, I'm making an analogy here. All right, thanks for bearing with me. All right, so there's a split second where, and she, even there, she's kind of going through, getting a ticket. There's a split second where she said, purchase. And she hits that button, and boom, right then and there, she's got it. And her credit card gets charged. And she's got the ticket. Now she owns it. And now she's got it. And of course, in the day of non-refundable tickets, she can't get rid of it. All right, whether she, even if she wants to, she can't get rid of it. She's got that ticket. All right, she's eternally secure with that ticket. Maybe I'm making too many applications here. Don't mean to make light, but you understand, there's a point at which you cross a point of thinking about it and intellectually knowing it, that's the term we're using here. So it is with salvation. People know about it. And even when they understand, wow, yeah, now I get that he became sin for me. And I get that he died. He didn't, Catholics all the time. He died, the death, burial, and resurrection. But it's never he died for. This is the difference. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, underline these three words in verse 3. For our sins. That's the difference. The ministry of reconciliation. He became sin for us. All of our sins were placed on him, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All we have to do is, at some point we come, I have not yet ever accepted. Will you ever forget the moment when you became a mama?
No.
You couldn't if you wanted to. I mean, it's a glorious moment, right? We might not remember the date of our graduation. I'm doing this for flipping my tassel. Our date of graduation from high school, but I bet you can remember back then some of the
details
about it. Did you wear a gown? Did you not wear a graduation gown? I bet you can remember what color it was. You might remember who sat next to you. I bet you remember if you were inside or outside. Were you at a football stadium or were you inside in a big auditorium? You remember the circumstances about significant events in your life. As an 8-year-old kid, you can probably remember. I remember the first hit I had as a Little League baseball player, almost 50 years ago. I can remember where I hit that ball. I can remember. I don't remember if there's anybody on base, but I remember the first hit I had. It was just a significant event in my life. I think it was the first time I actually swung the bat. I was one of those guys who would just stand there. Either I struck out or I walked to first. I would never swing the bat. I was chicken. And finally, near the end of the season, between my dad and my next door neighbor, they just swing at the first pitch. Just swing. I don't care if it's way out. Just swing. Because I was all bummed out. Son of a gun if I didn't get a hit. And anyway, what that's worth.
I have a real quick question.
Yeah.
Does the Bible say, and particularly, I guess maybe Paul's writing mainly, but does it say that every person knows they're a sinner?
Without excuse.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. Does every person, no matter what they say, they may say that they're a good person and they're okay and all this, but deep down, does the Scripture say that every person really knows that they're not a good person? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Romans 1.
Yeah, I'm curious. It's a tough question.
Actually, so now I'm going off. Ask your question again, please.
Does the Scripture say that every person deep down really knows that they do things wrong, that they're a sinner?
Yeah, in Romans 1, so not a single verse, one verse,
yeah.
But Romans chapter 1, the whole chapter, the whole world has become guilty before God. Do they know? Because you have, Christ talking about the Pharisees that never thought they were as bad as the guy over there, right?
But did they? Yeah, but then, yeah.
I would say everybody, I don't know that there would be anybody that never thought that they didn't sin at some point. But do they? But they haven't gotten lost. I mean, that was me until I was age 24.
They don't think enough, maybe.
Yeah,
they don't. They don't apply. They don't apply. Yeah, I'm just trying to reconcile some things in my
right
head about some things.
Seems to me that the verses 18 through 20 would.
Let's read those first. Romans 1:18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men
who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Right. Okay. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For God hath showed it unto them.
So there it is right there.
Mike.
So there it is.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That was an excellent, excellent passage.
There you
Mike.
Go. So all people are aware.
I can even tell you two or three people. I know Kim in particular witnessed to the my old boss's wife. Now it's on video. Of course, you don't know boss of where, which boss. But anyway, so many times witnessed to, and I remember one time sitting out back, we were looking out over Mobile Bay at sunset. Just one of those gorgeous sunsets, you know, a sailboat going by. And she just goes, now how can you, and she, my boss's wife, goes, how can you look at that and not believe that there's some kind of God, is how she worded it. Or not believe that there's a God. Not the God, but a God. People get it. And actually, Romans 1, part of the other parts in here would say that as well. You know, everybody understands there is a God. There's no such thing as atheism.
Yeah.
No such thing. Everybody understands there's a God out there. There is an eternal Godhead. We just read that, actually. Okay, so we're talking about going from that moment of intellectual salvation. Now, I would suggest to you, here's this whole issue of intellectual salvation. Well, I'm in the process of being saved. You know, I'm learning enough. My college roommate, the last time I was with him, and we were discussing scriptures. Yeah, can you believe that? You know, fraternity brothers, actually, college roommates, no less, discussing scriptures. And I was like, so John, when did you get saved? Well, you know, we're in the process of being saved. No, John, when did you get, you know, more importantly, when did you get lost? And he thinks it's being saved. You just keep learning. The more you get to learn, the more better saved you are.
But it's really when did you get lost?
That's exactly it. And that's what happened. I can tell you that's what happened to me that night. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it at first. Yeah. You fool. And where does it say it? I think we just read that as well about foolish. Verse 22 is two verses after what we just read. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, you fool. You really think you could have been good enough? I never would have told anybody they could get saved by works, but yet that's what I was trusting in. As are people that have not yet received the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the free gift, because they've never seen themselves as lost. You got to see yourself as lost first. You got to admit, I can't do it. And then there's that moment where, just like becoming a mom, second earlier I'm not, boom, and a second later I am, and there's nothing that's going to undo that. Forever, I'm sealed as a mama. No matter what that little girl does, no matter even 26 years from now or 30 years from now, or no matter what I do, I'll always be her mama. So intellectual salvation. Now, we study with the King James Version, and this is something that the more I teach and preach, the more convicted I become of the issue of talking about the King James Version. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here's a great example. So what I would say, so we believe that the King James Version is the Word of God in English. It is the only version that is the Word of God in English. Now, for those of you that might be watching this, don't take my word at this. Study it. All right? And don't block us out yet either. I want to give you just one example of hundreds of examples we give from time to time as to why King James, what you at least have to see in the examples we give, just about every teaching that's on the internet, is all the other versions would be on one side and King James will be here. One or the other, either one's right and one's wrong, or this one's right and this one's wrong, or they're both wrong, but they can't both be right in some of these cases. Okay? Make sense? Okay, I mean, that's just straight logic. Either one's right and the other one's wrong, or this one's right and this one's wrong, or they're both wrong, but they can't both be right if they're saying something different. Here's an example of this thing about intellectual salvation and evolving into it, and we're just always being saved. And of course, these people are always being saved, these people in this dispensation, because they have to earn it. It is works-based. It's faith and works. Before us, all Old Testament and out into here, it was faith and works. As we read here, Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3:28, Galatians 2:16, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So, these people were being saved. People after us will being saved. We, as Ephesians 1:13 says, the moment of salvation were sealed, and we're sealed unto the day of redemption. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Watch closely, make sure I'm reading the right words. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. Is that what your Bible said?
No.
I added one single word in there, didn't I? Now, I added the same word that all of these other versions add in there, including New King James, and it's that word
being. They all say
being. They all say
being. So in the process.
In the process of.
Really?
It's not something, let's go back and read this right. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We are saved. We're not are being saved. We are saved. And there's a big difference between that. One more case of hundreds of examples like this of why the King James Version, well, that doesn't mean this is, but again, at least see that they're different. All I'd ask you on the internet is to see that they're different. And now go study it out and figure out which one it is. But at least see that they're different. So either they're both wrong, or one is right, and the other, either throw this King James out the door and continue to study over here, or these are all wrong, and this one's right. Okay, but they can't both be right. Now, don't base it on that one scripture alone. Matter of fact, while we're doing this, go to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to show you the verse that helped me settle it in my mind. Not help me. This was that final moment. I've been studying it. We got versions all over the floor studying what does this one say, what does that one say. I love it. Now, I'm going to put on here a great program to use in this modern day of technology. e-sword.net. It's a free program, and it costs $1.99 for your iPhone, for the app. But on your computer, It's a free program, free download. And you get like a dozen different versions, King James. There's one called King James Plus. And a bunch of others. Now, if you want to get NIV, certain versions you'll have to pay for. But that's because of that version, NIV. It's all about the money. $20 because of their copyright. And that's why there's so many perversions of the Word of God. It's all follow the money trail. NASB, if you want to get that one, you have to pay $20. Now, ASV, which is the precursor to the NASB, the New American Standard, just the American Standard version, you can get for free. So, you know, I use them all the time and compare them. Last Tuesday, I went into that Bible study, that one I attend on Tuesday mornings, I tell you about from time to time. Had King James. Matter of fact, I had this verse we're going to. It was one of the verses I had on there. It's exactly why I did. But I had three columns. And here's King James. I had ASV and I had ESV, English Standard Version, because one of the main churches that go there, that's what they use in that church. This program, so all of those are free in the program. And you get Strong's Concordance in there. You get Webster's 1828 Dictionary in there. All free, all part of the program, free. I mean, it's great. You can type in words. Trying to remember what the words. Well, you can do a word search. You could say sealed. Show me all the verses in the Bible that have the word sealed in it, and it'll show you. You can say, just show me the ones in the Old Testament. Just show me the ones in Paul's writings. Show me the whole Bible, okay? And it'll spit it out that way. I mean, there's so many great tools in there. Okay, I was going somewhere with this. So, okay, Galatians chapter 2. That's where I was going. But this is the verse that got it settled for me. This is where I went to go from intellectually thinking I knew it was the right answer to getting it settled in my mind right then and there. And after that, there's never a doubt. Threw all the others away. Got it settled in my mind. Okay, from this point on, I get it. King James is the Word of God in English. And it's verse of Galatians chapter 2. There's actually two different places in here, but this is the verse that did it for me. Comes right in with our theme of what we're talking about. It's verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of, and circle that word of, because that's the word. It's the little words that make the bigger differences. It's not that they're saying such great different things and all. It's little teeny tiny words. That word of is what settled it for me. The faith of Jesus Christ. And let's read the whole verse. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Second time it said it. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. All right, now that goes right along with Romans 3:28, Ephesians 2:8-9. Works have no part of obtaining salvation. Okay, total faith. But by the way, look at the gift that we have in this justification. Let me go Romans 3. I keep the definition. You don't need to turn there. That's where I keep the written definition of justification. To justify, to pardon. So this is the key. So stay in Galatians 2. Okay? But that word justification, that's the key. You are justified. Okay? Here's the definition of being justified. What does that mean? To pardon and clear from guilt. To absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. And to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior, or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. Wow. That's what you have. And how did you get that? You know, that's the key. How does man get that in different time periods? How do you get it? How does the man in Galatians 2:16 get it? In the knowing that a man is not justified, there's that word justified, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. All of these other versions, and I do mean all, change that word of by the faith of Jesus Christ. Whose faith is it?
Jesus
Christ's faith. That's what justifies you. It's not even your own faith in King James. But all of these other, including New King James, it's faith in. They change that word of to in. They're both two-letter words. But boy, does that change totally the meaning of the verse.
But it actually fits with the rest of what Paul said.
It does go into the middle of it. And that just is one more reason why you know that we have some role in here, some part in here. We believe, even in the middle of that, even we have believed, or that we might, excuse me, yeah, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Wow. They do it again in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In verse 20, all other versions change that faith of the Son of God who loved me to faith in Son of God. They change it from the faith of Christ to our faith. And I have yet to meet a person that has more faith than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I'm not holding my breath that I ever will meet anybody that has that kind of faith, right? And by the way, people ask many times, the faith of Christ. Yeah, he had enough faith to allow himself, 2 Corinthians 5:21, to become sin. To allow all of our sins to be placed on him. He had enough faith to go to that cross knowing he was going to die a horrendous death and go to hell because he becomes sin. God Almighty cannot look on sin. Why did he clothe Adam and Eve in the skins of animals? So that the blood of those animals would cover them up so he would not see their sin. God cannot look on sin. When Christ says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he's hanging on that cross, because it's at that moment our sins, my sins, were placed on him. And he who knew no sin became sin for you, for me, for us, for the world. And took those sins to hell. He had faith that God would, as it says in Acts 2 and back in Isaiah, that thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Back in Psalms, it says that as well. David saying that about Christ. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. On the third day, he had faith that God the Father would raise him from the dead. And that's how we all know we can have eternal life. Because of his resurrection. Romans 4:25 that we read earlier. Okay? By the and justified us by the resurrection of the dead, from the dead. From the dead. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay? By the way, while you're in Galatians 2, I want to give you one more verse. It just happens to be of to in, but now it's not faith of Christ, the faith in Christ and changing whose faith it was. Watch how one two-letter word totally, and again, King James will be the only one that uses of. Actually, this one goes of to two. And yet it totally, totally changes the fact that there's different doctrine for right here. One two-letter word is how Satan can use these other perversions of the Word of God to just explain away the distinct and separate ministry of the Apostle Paul. With one two-letter word, and it's in verse 7, where he says, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Both of those two ofs, gospel of the circumcision, gospel of the uncircumcision, are both changed gospel to the circumcision. Okay, let's read that. Here's how all the other perversions have it. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel to the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel to the circumcision was unto Peter. Wow.
Totally changes
the meaning. It's the same gospel in that case. Mm-hmm. No wonder they don't see two different gospels. No wonder they think everybody's saved the same the whole way through. It's the same gospel all the way through. One two-letter word accomplished that. That's why, like I say, I feel more and more convicted to make an issue about this. And especially as I get in these other Bible studies and watch guys so confused and just not able to accept. The leader of this Tuesday morning class, and I know he's under conviction. Y'all pray for him. His name's Jim. Hear that, Internet? Didn't use the last name. But a great guy. Great guy. And he's wrestling with it. And he wants to know what the Scripture says. But just having trouble getting across the goal line, it would appear to me. I'm not judging them. All we can ever judge somebody is by the words that they say for their salvation. Okay? But, are we saved? Can we lose our salvation or not? He might be saved. I don't know. But I had a point of all this, and that's just that the different perversions are what create confusion. I get a chance to teach at a Baptist church every third or fourth week on a Wednesday night. And different versions used in there, and you just see. I mean, there's guys in there that know the stories of the Bible well.
Intellectual,
but because they're using these different... ESV is a big one in there. We went to Galatians 2:16. Three people got it big time, but the main guy on point where he was sitting showed him Galatians 2:16. So you got to at least admit they're different. Yeah, but it doesn't change the overall meaning. And these other three saw it and got it. This guy would not admit, wait a minute, it changes whose faith it is. And all three of these got it. And they were even working on him. And he wouldn't admit it. Because he knew that he was backed in a corner, really, is what it was. That to admit that would mean either these are all... either this is right and these are wrong, or these are right and this is wrong, or they're both wrong, but they can't both be right. Whose faith is it that justifies you? And it goes with all the other verses we've been reading. Comment there.
I was just thinking it's not directly, but it's one reason why God had to seal us. Because it was our faith.
Yeah, exactly.
We waver.
Why was Peter in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, why was he telling everybody, go sell your houses, go sell your land, bring all the money here at the apostles' feet, we'll distribute. Why? Because nobody had enough faith to make it through the trail. Or he knew that they would not have enough faith. He knew that about that period of 7 years coming up. He knew the only way the Lord Jesus Christ could come back to earth was preceded by a period of 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel, the period of Jacob's trouble, 7 year period of great tribulation, Matthew 24. He knew about all that. He thought that was starting. That's why they're selling out. That's why the guy in Hebrews, when he loses his salvation, when he does the work that causes him to lose, go to Hebrews chapter 6. This was the big discussion. Of course, what they'll try to do here is say, well, this guy never was saved. No, watch the words. This was the other reason I printed out the three different versions. One, the way King James words this. As you read the person that's being described in Hebrews chapter 6 here, ask yourself, is this person a believer? Okay, for the doctrine that's being taught to them here. Because that's what some people... If you're a Baptist, for instance, and you believe in eternal security, and you read this passage, and you let the words say what they say, you've either got to say, wow, they can lose salvation, or, well, he was never saved in the first place. And, of course, that's what they all want to say. You person reading this with us, make your own decision. Is this person saved? Okay, verse 4. For it is impossible, so make no mistake, whatever is about to happen is impossible. It is impossible for, now watch the four ways this person is described. For those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Stop reading. Let me ask you, is this person a believer? They're made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
There's even one more here, verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Okay, stop reading. Yes.
Yeah, they're saved.
They are saved by the doctrine that they're supposed to believe. Absolutely. Well, something's impossible for them, so let's keep reading to see what's impossible. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, it's impossible, I'm bringing back from verse 4, to renew them again unto repentance. They lose it, they're done. It's impossible to renew them again. Not sort of possible, not maybe possible, impossible. Chapter 10, there'd be another passage that would tell you the same thing. Okay? They lose it, they're done. Now, we know how this movie ends. We've got the whole Bible. We've got the completed Word of God. How does it end? Out here, in the 7 years, okay, out here, they can lose their salvation. Peter thought he was here. This is a mystery time period. Okay, it was not in prophecy. Everything else up to Acts 9 is prophesied. Everything after this dispensation is prophesied. The 7 years, the 1,000 years, the little season at the end of the 1,000 years. It's all prophesied. Everything in the book is prophesied except for these 13 books, Romans to Philemon. Nothing in here is prophesied. How many times Paul calls it mysteries? Mystery. Romans, you see the word. That's a great word study for those of you that get eSword. Type the word mystery in here and go and say, show me all the verses in the Bible that have the word mystery in it. High majority is Romans to Philemon, of course. Revelation has mystery a couple of times, and Christ says it once back here, and two of the four Gospels refer to it. You know, this is no great mystery, but not a mystery. Anyway, let's stay with our study here. So we know how it ends, okay? And that seven-year period, if they take the mark of the beast, and that's what Hebrews 6 is talking about, they take the mark of the beast, they're done. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost by doing that. Peter knew that would be the greatest temptation. You know, woe unto them that give suck in that day, is what Christ even said in Matthew. You know, talking about the trip. It's going to be hell on earth. Like times we've never seen. You think what's going on over there with ISIS is bad? That's going to be nothing compared to what's going on in those 7 years. And those people, so that they don't have to take the mark of the beast to buy or trade, to buy or sell, like food. That's why Peter said, sell everything you have, bring the money here, lay it at our feet, we'll distribute as people have need. But you're not going to be able to get through the trib on your own, or it's going to be very difficult to get through the trib on your own. That's why they were doing that back there. Acts 2, they did it. Acts 4, they do it. Acts 5, they do it. Acts 6, we even have an example of Hebrews chapter 6. Their names are Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife. And they go sell their house or their land. They sell it, but they keep back part of it in their back pocket. Bring some of the money, most of the money, to the apostles' feet. But they're struck dead on the spot. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Great example right there in the Bible of that issue. Okay? So, all that being said, let me just get a time check here. All that being said, don't worry, I'm not taking your picture.
Thank you.
Works have no part of obtaining salvation. But boy, do we have rewards in eternity. Everything about our eternity is about the rewards that we earn from the moment of salvation, whatever your day of salvation is in your life. Okay, we all have a day that we're birthed and a day that we leave this earth, whether by death or by this event. And somewhere in here is our day of salvation. All of our works prior to this are just not seen of God Almighty Himself. They were paid. All of the works we're paid for back here. But all of our good works, to maintain good works, we read at the beginning, okay, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to maintain good works. Okay, from the moment of salvation to the day we leave this earth, all of our works in here, they're judged. They'll be judged on this day. And our bad works, which are not chewing, dancing, smoking, drinking, that's not bad works. Bad works are any time we have an opportunity to do a good work, to be an ambassador for Christ, and neglect it. We suffer loss for that. The bad works are compared to wood, hay, and stubble in 1 Corinthians 3. All of our works are put to fire here. Those all burn up. Wood, hay, and stubble. They burn up when put to fire. We suffer loss for those. But our good works, the times that we do share the gospel of Christ with someone, that we do invite them to come to the Bible study on the second and fourth Saturday here in Kingwood at the Gould's house. And by the way, it's not even performance-based. It doesn't matter if they come or not. You get the crown, the jewel in your crown, just by doing the work of inviting them, being a good ambassador for Christ. It's not performance-based. It doesn't matter if they come or not.
Yeah, but I got a lot of wood, hay, and stubble to make up for.
Well, I hear you. Okay. But that's where our works come into play, from the day of salvation on. Being an ambassador for Christ. Sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony. It's all about first, you don't need to turn there, but
being
first,
an ambassador.
It's all about being an ambassador. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Yeah. And 1 Timothy 2:4, for God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Yeah. The ministry of reconciliation, helping people understand that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You only understand that, we're only taught that in Romans to Philemon. Okay? That's the only place where we have eternal security. That's the only place where we obtain salvation by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay? So that's what it's all about, why he leaves us here, to be a good ambassador for Christ. Okay? Questions, comments, or otherwise? I'll even turn the camera off.
Maybe.